Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift, 8:04 a.m. Just hit the zeros. It's Squid Billy over across the table. Allie's hanging out. Dylan's behind the glass playing the good tunes at 8 o'clock. I don't know what I had to do to make this happen, but I'm glad I did. Whatever
just
it is.
Always nag bringing him about
the thunder.
It.
I was about to say, I can tell you used to flame me every time the 8 o'clock hour hit about the music, so
hey,
I was like, maybe I need
Bad
to switch
Bunny.
Something up.
Okay, because I would actually, if it was Bad Bunny, I wouldn't know. Because I don't know who that is. But he'll be playing the Super Bowl halftime show, reportedly, which is really interesting. We're going to do a wake-up call in just 1 second. I got a couple of questions I want to ask you guys. 404-726-0929. Are the Falcons a playoff team? Second question.
Oh, okay. I
is
thought
Georgia,
you were
asking me. Is Georgia a playoff team? Second question is Georgia a playoff team? I want to know how you feel about both those teams coming off the weekend. I would say yes, that Georgia is definitely a playoff team. There's no doubt about it in my mind. They will not lose. Well, even if they lost two more games, I think they'd still probably be fine. I think that there was, you know, some three loss teams on the cusp of doing it last year. That's what I want to know. 404-726-0929. If you got thoughts, is Georgia a playoff team? Are the Atlanta Falcons a playoff team? I struggle with the Falcons one because I want the consistency to be there, and that's one of the things that I think you have to. I think that's a bridge you have to cross if I'm going to call the Falcons a playoff team. You have to be consistent. You have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and you're supposed to beat them handily. So I don't know if Bo has any thoughts on that, but I'm trying to weigh in my brain.
I confused myself on something. I just went and looked at the standings. You said, are the Falcons a playoff team yet?
Yes.
Aren't they a playoff team? And I was like, well, I mean, I think yesterday they looked like a playoff team. So I went and I was like, oh, you own the tiebreaker over Minnesota, but it's got Minnesota over us saying that they win the tiebreaker over us based on strength of victory.
Like, does the head-to-head not count?
It must be. You know what? You know what it is. I think I've unconfused myself. I think because it's a 4-5 team tie of 2-2 teams, so therefore head-to-heads are thrown out. So then you go to those. So that's because not all those teams have played each other.
Yep. Well,
that's why it's that way. Well, I think the team that showed up yesterday is a playoff team.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you play clean? Did you play perfect? No.
No, not at all.
You played pretty well. I thought you did a good job, and the fact that I look at it, you know, somebody's telling me Mariota put up 27 points. Not really.
A lot of short fields.
There were some explosives that went their way. At the end of the day, he was 16 of 27 for a .156.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns and an interception. So that was like – so he had they gotten their way, his stat line would look like last week, 15 of 21.
And you didn't let his legs beat you, which I was really concerned about. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing with the plus one, the ability to run the ball. That was huge.
Yeah, he had the one run.
Yep.
The one scramble. Yep. Other than that, I think the funny thing was he had that one scramble – but which was a 22-yarder, and his total was like 2 carries for 20 yards. So
yeah,
I think you did. I think you did what you wanted to do yesterday.
Yeah. Are the Falcons a playoff team? Is Georgia a playoff team? 404-726-0929. Dylan, let's hit this thing. All right, Dylan, let's go ahead and go straight to the phone lines. Let's talk to Gary over in Calhoun. Gary, what's going on, boss? Good to talk to you.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey,
it's just a fabulous Monday today.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's always better when you get a win on Sunday.
Yes, it is.
100%.
What's going on?
I work every other weekend, and it's always great to go to work on Sunday night when they win. You know,
yeah.
I just things just go so well.
That's right, man. Get your chest poked
listen,
out a little bit.
Yes, I think Georgia is a playoff team.
Okay, I do too.
I think they'll be there.
Yeah, I do too, man.
Falcons, the consistency is going to have to get better if we're going to make it. If we play, if we can play games like we did yesterday, yeah, we'll be in there. I think so.
Yeah. Appreciate
one,
the
one thing I wanted to talk about with the play you were talking about plays. I would love to see in this third down and short when you got Tyler Algier back there, a play fake and hit Kyle Pitts running up that seam.
I think it's coming.
I would just love to see that.
Yeah, I think it's coming. Appreciate the phone call. I do think that's coming. I think that there has got to be something up the middle at some point to the tight end. Got to be.
Yeah, and I think it might. It could depend on where you're at in the field. Because if you're going to do that, then you've probably already told yourself you're going for fourth down.
Yeah. I agree. The amount, and I know this is going to get a pulse, the amount we insert Charlie Warner into our offensive formations, you got to hit something down the middle to keep them honest as far as those linebackers flying up into the line of scrimmage.
I can't wait till they have Bijan and Charlie Warner in the backfield in that I formation.
Yeah.
And then they just hand the ball to Charlie in the fullback dive and let him do it.
Yeah. Wishbone, maybe Algier, you know. Okay, all right. I don't want to get. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go talk to our buddy Dexter over in Covington. Dexter, what's going on, boss?
Good morning, brothers. How y'all doing?
Hey, having a fabulous day.
Good, good. Great win. Falcons playoff contention. They cleaned up the clock management. You know, with getting the plays out on time and doing what they supposed to do on that. That's a plus. Once AJ come back. Because Alford is awful. Once AJ come back, I think the defense is going to crank up. The offense is going to do their thing. It's just time. Georgia, for sure, they're going to do their thing. Georgia going to do their thing. And great wins yesterday, man, and I love it, guys.
Yes,
good
sir.
Morning.
Yes, sir. I love the vibes coming from Dexter over in Covington. Thank you for the phone call. I don't agree with the whole thing where Alford's awful. I don't think that showed up too much, but I am excited about the thought of getting AJ back probably after the bye week. That's a huge thing. And the bye week's bad timing as it is this early, AJ getting healthy is imperative to this defense.
Well, Alford shut down Teteroa McMillan pretty well the week before, and the touchdown for Samuel wasn't on Alford. It was on Mike Hughes, but it was just one of those deals where he kind of squatted on fourth and short. And Debo didn't. Debo ran, just kept running, and he almost got back there. So it's kind of just, I don't know if you want to call it miscommunication or just played the wrong coverage.
I do think there was miscommunication on Luke McCaffrey's touchdown on the back end.
Absolutely.
They looked lost.
But I think that was on the Xavier Watts. I think Xavier Watts made two bad mistakes on that opening drive. He missed that first touchdown drive. He misses a tackle on Rodriguez for that big run, and it sprung the big run.
Yep.
And then he was supposed to pick up Luke McCaffrey as he came across the middle there, and that was what D. Alford was looking like. Well, where are you at?
I'll say this, too. Did you see the look on Jesse Bates' face when Xavier Watts was hurt? Like, it tells me all I need to know about their relationship. He looked mentally drained watching Xavier Watts on the ground. And I was like, I've seen that look. That means he absolutely loves this kid.
Yeah.
To think that he's looking at like a rookie like that that plays next to him. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy Sam over in Atlanta. Sam, what's going on, man? Happy Monday.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Victory Monday.
Yes, sir.
So I would say Georgia overall, yes, they are a playoff team. I see maybe one more loss on their schedule. Could be against Texas. It could be against Tech. But they could win both of those. And if they win that, if they lose one of those games, they would have to win the SEC championship if they get there, or else they're not making it. But overall, I'd say, yeah, they're a playoff team. Now, the Falcons, for me, it's a matter of consistency. And I'm still not fully sold on this coaching staff yet. Zach Robinson did call a very good game yesterday, but I just need to see it consistently. Now, while I like the job that Ulbrich has done with the defense, this is the second time so far that the defense has had the chance to put the game away late and they haven't been able to get a stop. The defense was not good at all in the second half. If the offense spots you a first and 30, they should not convert it. That bomb to Debo Samuel, fourth and 2, that put them back in the game. If you get a stop there, for all extensive purposes, you put the game away.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I think it's a good point.
And like that can't happen. And my thing is, we allowed almost 30 points against a team missing their quarterback, a couple offensive linemen, and their wide receiver one. If Jaden plays, maybe the game turns out differently. And if we play like that against Josh Allen when he comes to town in 2 weeks, we're going to get run out of the bins.
Yeah.
So the defense has to step up. And honestly, it's only been 4 games, and edge is one of those positions you have to give time to develop. But I need more from our first-round picks. Walker, I thought, played decent yesterday, had a tackle for loss, was solid in the run game. I need more from Pierce.
You had me. You started off the phone call very strong. Mm-hmm. You kind of lost me right there at the end. We talked about the edge player. Jalen Walker was wreaking havoc yesterday.
Yeah.
He was. Now, is it looking – are we getting in the sack column and saying absolutely no? But Jalen Walker was all over the field yesterday.
But you have 10
plays.
Sacks.
Yeah.
As a unit, and yeah, I don't care individually. I do not care individually what those guys have this year.
I don't need it. The conversation can be made about Pierce. Did you think you would probably have that? You know, Pierce would show up in the sack column more. Sure, maybe, but I don't. The way they're utilizing him and the offense you were going. This is not a drop back offense that they were playing yesterday. This is an offense that's going to try to run it down your throat. I thought Jalen Walker played really, really well into that. I also don't need Pierce on the field. Not rushing the passer at times. I'm not going to force him into this conversation in this, you know, 5-1 defense against a jumbo tight end. I don't need to see that.
I agree with the fact that you really wanted to come up and make that stop on 4th and 2, and that's one where you'd like the defense to kind of make a stop. But I'm not going to say anything. Like, I don't play the what ifs. Guess what? They were missing Terry McLaurin. We were also missing AJ Terrell.
I'll say this
Stop
as well.
Stop telling me how.
I'll
how
say this
hard
well. They
weren't
missing two offensive linemen.
No, they weren't. Missing,
they benched those guys. So I'm not giving them credit for that. And I don't know that anything. Now, could Jaden Daniels have found magic? Sure, he found magic last year. But the offense, it's not like the offense was operating at a high level last year. He was scrambling and making plays.
He ran for 130 or 140 yards against you because they were all, to your point, they're all scrambles. Guess what they weren't missing? The three-headed monster at running back, and that's what they want to do anyways. They want to run the football down your throat and throw based off that. And Deebo Samuel is in there, and he's probably a better player overall than Terry McLaurin.
I'll say this as well. And the defense, could they have made more stops? Sure. Did Dan Quinn choose to kick a field goal with 1:40 left in the game? Yes. So you didn't even get a chance to try to make those stops at the end. He was like, I'll go ahead and take the 3. Mm-hmm. He recovered the onside, and the game was over. So, I don't know. Good phone calls all the way around, though. Appreciate the calls.
Absolutely. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up, we do have former Falcons QB and now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Dave Archer will join us. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington through the formation. They give it to Algier. Uh-oh, Tyler breaking free. 10-5 shoulder. Touchdown!
Oh,
Atlanta! Check the license plate, Jeremy Reeves. Wow!
Woo.
Tyler Algier dropped the gear down and dropped that left axle right into Jeremy Reeves. Touchdown, Atlanta. What a run.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. We are welcoming in former Falcons QB and now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Dave Archer's joining us. And our conversation with Arch is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Dave, we've been celebrating yesterday's win all morning against the Commanders 34-27. What was the energy like in that locker room when you got to head back and talk to some of the guys?
Yeah, I thought it was, Allie, it was really good. Obviously, tough week a week ago. There was a lot of scrutiny, a lot of conversation about what they were or weren't after their performance in Carolina. It was good to be able to get that out of your mouth. I mean, that's the beauty of the NFL. As long as you can keep playing, you can potentially erase that. But you got to, it lives with you for a week, and to be able to get that out of there and know that that was not their personality, that was not who they wanted to be as a team. The energy was good. I don't think it was overly exuberant. I do think there was a bit of a prove it type feel in Raheem's voice as he spoke to the team, that just to remind them, this is who you're supposed to be. That's not who you were last weekend. You know, remember that. I thought that a lot of guys that I talked to post game continued that conversation about, hey, you know, this is a good spot, but it's not where we want to be. We're building off of this. It's a long season. There's just a lot of stuff that goes into it, but I do think that there was some good feelings in there that they had washed that really bad taste out of their mouth in Carolina.
Arch, what did you see from Penix yesterday in the bounce back game? Why did he look so special yesterday? After coming off his worst game as a pro.
Well, whenever you get challenged, Bo, I think in any walk of life, I think if you get challenged a little bit, if you got any pride about you or there's any professionalism about you, that you're going to step to the plate. I mean, if you got some salt in you, you're going to step up. And we know that Penix is one of those kind of guys that is a self-motivator. He's not a guy that necessarily feeds off of what other people think. I think that most of us that compete, you have a bar that you establish for yourself. And if you don't reach that bar, the disappointment comes within and you're disappointed yourself. You're not really overly worried about what other people are saying. It's a level that you're expecting yourself to play at. And I felt like he disappointed himself as much as he did any, maybe more so than his teammates or anybody here in Atlanta. It just wasn't who he wanted to be. So he went back to work with some serious resolve. Raheem talked about that, how they trusted what Michael was saying about himself and how he stepped to the podium and talked about how poorly he'd played, and he realized that, and so didn't expect anything different, but it's always nice to see it kind of play out in front of your eyes. But I just thought he did everything he needed to do. He was prepared as far as the game plan goes. He was a guy that had spent a lot of time, obviously, getting calls, plays called, and getting in and out of the huddle and getting people lined up. But then his distribution of the football was at the highest possible level. He got everybody involved. So I thought that he did what he was supposed to do. He did what he expected himself to do. I think that's the main thing.
Arch, you talked about the game plan just a little bit. I want to talk more about Zach Robinson being on the sideline. And I've kind of gone back and forth on this just a little bit with some people. What are the pros? What are the cons? I think the pro is obviously him being able to look Michael Penix in the face and talk to the wide receivers and talk to everybody else and not through a headset. You were kind of like me, though. We had this conversation. T.J. Yates also being on the sideline, the new wide receiver coach who was the passing game coordinator. I thought that was a little bit surprising that neither one of those guys. I thought for sure that if Zach was going to be on the sideline, TJ would be in the booth, but TJ's right there down the sideline along with him, and instead KJ Black is up in the booth. What did you make of that TJ Yates joined Zach Robinson and staying on the sideline?
Yeah, I was surprised, Mike. I thought that, you know, maybe they would exchange because TJ had been on the sideline, so you figure Zach moved down, that TJ might be his eyes upstairs. But no, they trusted Black, they trusted Petrie, some of those guys that are upstairs. I'm not sure who else was upstairs with KJ, but they trusted those guys from a staff standpoint. They worked that out, and I think that they operated at a high level. Zach had spent a lot of time on the sideline when he was in L.A., so he was very comfortable downstairs and being able to see things. I talked to him early in the week when he came out and talked to the press about the transition from being upstairs to downstairs, and I asked him, you know, just he and I were talking, and I asked him about that. He says, I, you know, in all honesty, I see some things that I don't see upstairs too. I got a feel for being down on the sideline. So he was very comfortable with that transition, but yeah, I was a bit surprised too, but obviously the trust in the staff and the other guys that are on that staff helped them, you know, get to some things or see some things, give him some knowledge as to what Washington was trying to do.
We are joined by former Falcons QB and now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer. I know today we should enjoy the win, Dave, and we are enjoying it. But how can Raheem keep this momentum consistent through this week and stay ready for when Buffalo comes to town?
Well, it'll be as much as it's up to Raheem. And I know that there's been a lot of conversation about blaming the coordinators and blame, you know, the players. The players are culpable in this thing, too. So, and probably even more so than the coaches are. The coaches put a plan together, but they don't get a play. They're not going to go out there and do anything. So, as far as your preparation and what you do with this off week as a player, you'll lay some groundwork down as coaches to you know, maybe put together some workout plans and try to keep them as fresh as they can, but then still keep them locked in, as tuned in as they can. And Mike will tell you, I heard Mike talking about it on the post-game show. He played for guys that turned them loose for a week. Smitty let them go home for a week and go do whatever you want to do. And so there's, you got to have, the one thing the coach has to do is he has to have a pulse of his team. I think Raheem has a pretty good feel for who these guys are. It's a younger team, so maybe you need to keep them around and keep them more engaged as opposed to a veteran team that maybe can flip the switch back and forth sometimes. So obviously you'll have to trust them for that. But ultimately it comes down to the players having an idea of what they need to do to be ready to go next Monday and get ready for that big game against Buffalo.
You know, I want to talk about the defense, Arch, but first I got to ask you about Mr. Robinson, the Matrix, as you've deemed him. He is on,
dude.
He is on a record pace after yesterday. Now he's got 300 yards on the ground over and almost 300 yards receiving. I mean, how is he? What is different about him this year? How is he looking so special? I mean, we've always known he's had this, but man, he's the best player in football right now.
Yeah, I don't know how much different he is from last year, Bo, because he had, 2,000 yards total offense and 15 touchdowns. So I think he's, you know, we need to get the touchdown rate going a little bit more for him, but he started to step on that a little bit. I saw him after the game. I went in immediately after the game, and it was like the dude hadn't played. I mean, he was so fresh and smiling and giving everybody hugs. You know how he is. You and I are down there with him a lot. And he's so gratuitous to everybody else. He came in and he hugged everybody in the locker room. All the minority owners were there with Mr. Blank and people that are, you know, putting his equipment in his locker and stuff. The dude is so thankful for everybody. And you know, obviously his faith, he's a faith-based guy and it's big in his life. And so he gives thanks to everything and everyone, certainly his God-given ability. But the dude was just fresh as can be. It looked like he was, you know, putting his pads on to go out and play again. And it was just, I don't know. He's got, there's an energy about it. I guess maybe if there's anything different about him, and I don't even know if this is different. It seemed like he was very energetic and ready to roll. But, I mean, the guy touched the ball, 22 times yesterday, and had almost 200 yards of total offense. And we saw him, you know, completely undress some people with moves and starts and stops, and he was as fresh as a daisy when I walked in there. It's amazing where he is. You know, we knock on wood and keep our fingers crossed that, you know, that the Raheem and Coach Petry and all those guys that are kind of managing his carry load and touch load, we can keep him as fresh as we can possibly keep him, but also give him an opportunity to make the dynamic plays he can make. He's just a phenomenal human being. And you're right. There's nobody better in the league than he is right now.
Arch, before we let you go, I do want to touch on Darnell Mooney. And, you know, we've seen Darnell's ability. I think that he was the perfect, you know, cherry on top of this offense last year, really unlocked some things and let Drake London do what he needed to do. Now, we saw Bijan in the passing game yesterday. We saw Kyle Pitts continues to rise to the occasion. Drake London is going to be Drake London. But I'm just curious about Darnell Mooney and what you've seen the last couple of weeks. He's not crisp. He looks a little bit disengaged. I'll be curious to see what he is coming off the bye week. But what have you seen out of Darnell Mooney and what might be wrong with him in this passing game?
Well, all of what you just said is accurate. That's certainly what I'm seeing. I don't see the crispness in his routes. The thing that impressed me about Darnell last year was his route running. Everybody talked about his, you know, his speed, his ability to blow the top off the coverage. He was going to be that deep threat, that guy that was going to stretch things vertically for you. And he did some of that last year, obviously. But I thought his route running was what shocked me. He was an outstanding route runner and understood space, understood coverage. He was getting into dead areas. You know, he was creating those horizontal and vertical stretches that you need to help London and Pitts and the other guys have those areas to catch their footballs as well. He disengaged is a good way to say it. He seems really out of sorts, and obviously he did not practice all of training camp. Got hurt. What was it? That first day we were out there, he dove for a ball and hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
Don't know how the extent of that. There's some idea that it was much more damaging to him than we know, and that's why he was out as long as he was. But the routes don't seem crisp. He's not catching the football very well. It doesn't seem like he's sudden in his routes and coming in and out of his breaks. So I don't know. It'll be something we talked to Ali, asked that question about what does Raheem need to do? The players need to soul search a little bit. Darnell's going to have to dig in a little bit and go find that guy we saw last year that had just under 1,000 yards receiving. Because Casey Washington's coming. Casey made a big play along the sideline when he came in on a throw that was a little short. He made a nice catch to extend the drive. I think Casey's worked really hard for his opportunity. You may see more of him. So hopefully Darnell can get it going because he does have that ability to do some stuff. But right now, it's probably going to be on him to check in and say, hey, what do I need to do better than I am right now?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. Dave, do you have a chance to get out of town for the bye week? Are you taking some time for yourself?
Going to do some family stuff this week, definitely. Yeah, it's not prepare for a Falcon game and not have to listen to everybody talk about how bad the pistol formation is and what's going on with Michael Penix and all this kind of stuff. I mean, boy, we completely burned the wagon last week, didn't we? It's okay, folks. Calm down. We're okay.
Some people, the sky was falling for some people more than others. So let's just put it that way.
I wonder if we play actioned enough this weekend. I don't know if we play actioned enough. I'll be interested to hear that out, Blazer.
I'm sure you'll get asked on Tuesday afternoon.
Well, Dave.
You guys have a great one.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy the week. Thanks for the time, and we will talk soon. That is Dave Archer, former Falcons QB, now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
Analyst? Thanks, Mike, for leaving me out there.
Look, I was going to let her. She was on a roll. I wasn't going to interrupt.
I do want to remind you that Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta. This Saturday at 8 a.m., we get the day started with College Football Game Time, brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, and Abe Gordon, along with Garrett Chapman, will set the stage for all of the big matchups. And at 11:30 a.m., it's a doubleheader. We'll have Clemson at North Carolina, followed by Texas at Florida. That's this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we've got Machine Gun Kelly tickets. We'll talk about that Falcons win, and we've got a Life of Squid.
Ryder Cup, Cam Ward goes off in a press conference, and a legend, his final appearance on the mound most likely, all in the Life of Squid next. Morning Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and Allie.
The Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pistol set for Atlanta. Pitch to the left, two receivers to the right. Warner the tight end. In motion comes Washington. Here goes Penix looking to throw. He'll fire it. Oh, Robinson in stride. He's breaking free. It's a foot race. 10, tackled at the 6. Jeremy Reeves saved the touchdown.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan at 8:45. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We've got a lot to cover in the life of Squid. Ryder Cup, Cam Ward. So let's quickly give away these Machine Gun Kelly tickets. Call into the show right now. Dylan is waiting for you to call 404-726-0929. Chance to win a pair to see Machine Gun Kelly's Lost Americana Tour with Wiz Khalifa. That is happening next year, next May, at Lakewood Amphitheater, May 29th to be exact. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
It always hits me in the feels every time you give away something that far in advance and then you realize May of 2026 is like around the corner.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, May of 2026.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. This life of mine is flying by. Maybe I'm getting into a midlife crisis. I don't know. But when I hear 2026, I'm like, dude, that's out there. 2026 seems like something I watched on a movie that seemed like it was 100 years in the future.
By May of 2026, my daughter will be over one, and dude, I'll be almost 43. Then I'm like, oh, man, dude, I'm going to say this. I had a victory this morning.
Yeah.
It's not a life squid moment. I had a victory. You know, we went on the little trip. We took the pack and play.
Your vacation.
Yeah, it wasn't a vacation.
You went to the beach.
It was a trip.
You stayed at a beach house as a vacation.
Yeah, I worked.
Okay.
But we had to take the pack and play. And so the pack and play stays at her mom's because that's daycare for Mel. And so we had to take it back. And I was leaving this morning and I had it sitting on the golf cart. And I was like, oh, I need to put that in Amy's car. So I just carried it out there, put it in Amy's car. And then I was like about to get in the truck and I go, oh, the mattress.
Yep.
So then Amy texts me this morning. She's like, hey, where's the pack and play at? And I was like, yeah. Your car.
Glad you asked.
Your
no
car.
No problem, babe.
My head was on a swivel this morning, and I got it taken care of.
And she goes, oh, so I just got to grab the mattress? I go, it's in your car, too?
Yeah. You're welcome.
And then I had my mic gun. I'm a man. 42.
Isn't it funny? My wife, every time I get excited about something like that, she sits me right down. She's like, you realize every other day of the year that's what I'm dealing with? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
It was like,
she's like, before you go accepting your dad of the year award.
Right.
This well, is it's always that you didn't think about this and you didn't think about that. And it's like,
yeah,
I did that one time. I did today.
You can't handle it.
Yeah. Falcons won and I remembered something. Little Bear Burton's W Sauce, the New Realm Brewing, the Allen Lager. And I would like to remind everyone to go to either the Morning Shift Twitter page, my Twitter page, 92.9 The Game website, the events page, and find out all the details for the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, which is November 24th
Can't wait.
Of this year. And sign up today. Our friends at Finley Roofing are going to be a part of it. My buddy DJ at Joe's Automotive is going to be a part of it. Pinnacle Sign is going to be all the people that have been a part of it are coming back for another year. And it's going to be a great event. We've added a special hole. So there's going to be a specialty hole. I don't know why that's making you giggle, Allie. I don't appreciate that.
Hey, yo.
We're talking about golf holes. Yeah. I don't know where you're
specialty
going with things.
Specialty hole, huh? Sounds cool.
Big pause.
It's called a speed hole.
Just hit me wrong.
Oh,
it
God.
Just hit me wrong.
Yeah.
It's called a speed hole, yeah. Yeah. How quickly can you finish the hole? Anyways.
You going to use your long iron on that?
Well, you might. I might use the putter because, you know, you can space it out. I should be the anchor of that, you know, with the putter. Anyways, so go sign up today. We got plenty to talk about. So don't forget to go to the 99 Game event page or my Twitter or the Morning Shift Twitter and figure out how to sign up today. So let's go. What are we going to talk about first? Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup was a big deal.
Brutal.
I'm going to tell you something. I tweeted this. Clutch doesn't describe what the Europeans were on the greens.
It was insane.
This weekend.
Insane.
I don't think there is a word for what they were. That every freaking time they needed anything to keep us away from winning a hole or tying a matchup or whatever, they did it. They were so – their short game was so – John Rahm freaking chipped 10 on 8. It was tied up the alternate. I mean, they were so good on Saturday, and we ended up closing in. But I want to say this. The fans were a little bit too much. I love the heckling. I love the going back and forth. It's what makes the Ryder Cup different. But you can't be taking shots at people's families, mistreating their families, like throwing stuff on their wives. And at no point should Rory have to turn around and say, shut the plank up, and then throw a complete dart, literally. But Rory talked briefly about if when he was asked after yesterday if the fans had crossed the line.
I think golf should be held to a higher standard than what was, you know, than what was seen out there this week. Golf has the ability to unite people. Golf teaches you very good life lessons. It teaches you etiquette. It teaches you how to play by the rules. It teaches you how to respect people. And sometimes this week we didn't see that. So this should not be what is acceptable in the Ryder Cup. But we will be making sure to say to our fans in Ireland in 2027 that what happened here this week is not acceptable.
I agree.
Well, good. I hold you, Rory, personally responsible then. In 27, that you better not let the fans get out of hand towards our guys.
Doesn't sound like he's shying away from it. I'm curious to see how much the fans are comparable between Ireland and Long Island, New York. It's got to be a little bit of carryover there.
Yeah, you got a bunch of Mark Zenos, and then, you know.
Mark Zenos.
Well, now I'm talking about Long Island. I mean,
I know. I'm just saying. I feel like it's probably the same kind of group of people.
No. They're happy. They're happy drunks over there. They're angry. Long Island's angry people. Yeah, Irish are happy people. Most. I know some very happy Irish people.
Speaking of which, wasn't there? Never mind. I won't go down that tangent. Wasn't there an NFL game over in Ireland this weekend?
Yeah, the punter
Skylar Thompson.
Punter got quarterback got mugged.
All that talk you did last year about Dylan going to Brazil, turns out Ireland was the real worry.
Right? It was too much, but congratulations. No, I'm not going to say it. The U.S. made a comeback yesterday until Russell Henley dogged a putt and Shane Lowry won it. All right, Cam Ward. Cam Ward had one of the rawest press conferences yesterday after they go 0-4 and they got shut out 26-0. This is what Cam Ward had to say about the beginning of his NFL career and season.
I mean, if we keeping a buck right now, we ass. So we 0-4. We have, at this point, we got nothing to lose. We dropped a quarter of our games and we've yet to do anything. So we have to lock in, especially myself on the offensive line, from the defensive line, from the special teams to all three faces. We have to play together. We have not played together this year yet. And that's just something that, you know, we want to preach about it every day. Every day we got to do better. And we're doing that, but it has to show up on Sundays. It hasn't showed up yet, but it got to show up next week.
I like it. I like it. I actually like it. I didn't think I was going to like it, but I like it. He's holding himself accountable alongside everybody else. And I think that anybody involved or that watches that team in that stadium probably agrees. Probably they are ass. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So he's not lying to anybody.
Yeah, I thought it was funny because he, by the way, is Buck like honest or real?
Yeah, keep it a buck just means keep it 100, keep it a real, all those things. Keep it a bean as well. Cool. You can say keep it a bean.
Cool. I appreciated it. I look. No argument. At least he's a little bit less hostile than Brian Callahan is in his. Because Brian Callahan it comes off like, dude, why are you such a jerk? You've won nothing in this league. You can't just be like full jerk mode to the press 24/7. Ben Johnson had a moment too. And I saw a clip of his press conference where he had a moment where it looked like he was really like being a jerk to the sideline reporter coming out of halftime. And then someone played the full. Your boy Sam Akko. Wait, which ones we don't like? Is Sam, right?
I don't dislike either one of them.
What a question.
I don't like one of them because he's always like
Emmanuel.
Yeah, it's Emmanuel that did it. He's like, yeah, Ben Johnson stripping. Here's the thing. The clip of Ben Johnson with the sideline report was bad. The full interview, I have no issues with it because he explained everything. And then he's like, we'll be fine. And he got a little aggressive with the, we'll be fine. He like stares at the sideline report. I was like, I don't think you need like mean mugger, as you say, we'll be fine. But anyways, and real quick, Charlie Morton, last time probably ever we'll see him in a pitching. The Braves started him, and his career ended the way it should have.
2-2. He struck him out, and he did it with a curveball.
Just a beautiful thing. It really was a beautiful moment, hugging the kids. Snicker Love taking it. Him out. The whole team gathered around. It worked out perfectly for him.
And Chris Sale demanded that it happen that way. So good Love for Chris it. Sale.
Love it. Hats off to Charlie. That's going to do it for us. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today on this Falcons Victory Monday. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to...
enjoy the win, Atlanta. Stay cool.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.